listening to CFAC 960 AM, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Owned and operated by Rogers Media. Also streaming at sportsnet.ca/960. We do the research, filter out the crap, add some opinion, and fire it up for you on the drive home. Headlines start now. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 Headlines brought to you by Glenmore Audi. Last chance, Calgary. Save up to $4,000 on the 2015 Audi Q5. Drive it today at Glenmore Audi. Visit glenmoreaudi.com for details.
That, for me, is the best it will get. Are you kidding me? We started off a couple hours ago with Kyle Raymond, NHL referee. He was awesome. And then our good old pal Rob Cookson in for a little over an hour. He's awesome. Later on, Josh Humphreys, not so awesome. Certainly nowhere near as awesome as Will Nault, but he's here now with some headlines.
What a beating.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? That was cool, right?
Good middle couple of hours
middle
there.
Summer, yeah, that's as good as it gets.
It's rare that we get it right in the middle of the show, right? So it was...
Well, and Zonnie to kind of lead it up. Can I call him Zonnie? Is it okay? Or
absolutely.
No, Pat's waving me off on that. No,
you can call him that.
I don't like the team, so I'm not
really
allowed
care
to use the nickname.
This is what Pat thinks of the Blue Jays?
They haven't even sniffed it.
So, I mean,
well, come on, whatever. Pat. They're sniffing it now.
Pat, when's the last time they sniffed the playoffs?
They haven't even sniffed it.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while.
They're trying to make a push, though. They're in action right now, scoreless with Kansas City in the top of the first inning.
Oh, disappointing.
But let me tell you, Rob, they made a big splash again just a couple of days after acquiring Troy Tulowitzki from the Colorado Rockies. The Blue Jays go and get David Price from the Detroit Tigers in exchange for Daniel Norris and two other left-handed minor league pitchers. So they make a massive splash, and David Price looking forward to being a member of the Blue Jays.
Go there, be ready to pitch every 5 days, and go over there and be a good teammate, the days in between, see what happens. Obviously, going back to the East, where I spent, parts of 7 seasons, in my career, in that division. So I'm definitely, very familiar with all the teams in that division and all the cities that you go to in that division as well. They want to win right now, and that's you got to respect that. You have to like it. That's what you want to be a part of.
Last thing he said there, they want to win now, and clearly, Rob, these moves of the past week certainly prove that.
They do. Alex Anthopoulos, everybody's using the poker analogy, threw his chips in the middle. He's all in, all of those things. Look, we added Greg Zahn on, and, he's kind of a breath of fresh air there. You try telling Greg Zahn what they gave up was too much, right? He's a ball player. Ball players want to win. This fan base wants to win. This franchise wants to win. This ownership group wants to win. The media there wants them to win. 21 mm-hmm. years without postseason success. I get a little cautious because I think it's real easy to get ahead of yourself. I think it's real easy to say, it's hard.
Especially when there's 60 games left.
Well, that's right. Everybody's got to stay healthy. All things being equal, two guys aren't enough. This is a team game, so the rest of the guys have to raise it. We talked about it, though. I mean, the amount of games they play to finish the season within their division against teams they're battling, that's nice. You still have you're chasing the Yankees. They're way up on you, and I'm not suggesting they're going to catch the Yankees, but if they get hot and they would be that team that controls their own destiny, this is about, solidifying that that wild card spot right now. Look, there's a lot can happen between tonight and tomorrow, which is the non-waiver trade deadline. Does this force other teams to do things? Sure it does. But taking David Price out of the marketplace and adding him to your roster, that's better than anybody else is going to do in the next 24 hours.
So the Blue Jays get David Price from the Detroit Tigers in exchange for Daniel Norris and two other minor league pitchers. Price will make his Blue Jays debut either Sunday or Monday. Sunday in this finale against the Kansas City Royals, or Monday would kick off a series against the Minnesota Twins, also at the Rogers Center. They're kind of weighing a few options here. It sounds like Monday is the more likely destination for David Price, just because that would line him up to face the Yankees 4 times in the final 2 months, and that's kind of why you got the guy, as you're trying to chase down the Yankees for that AL East title. The Detroit Tigers weren't done there. They also sent reliever Joaquim Soria to the Pittsburgh Pirates for a couple of minor leaguers there. And the Yankees, as you mentioned, Rob, mm-hmm. might be a trickle-down effect. Other teams will do some stuff. They go out and they get utility player Dustin Ackley from the Seattle Mariners for a pair of minor leaguers as well. So the Yankees kind of with a reactionary move to the Blue Jays. not as big of an impact, obviously, but they're doing their part to keep their lead in the AL East at 8 games right now as it is over the Blue Jays. Again, that game is scoreless. Top of the first inning will take you to Toronto at the top of the hour. The Philadelphia Flyers made a splash in the hockey world today. They signed forward Jakub Voracek to an 8-year, $66 million contract extension that'll pay him an average value of $8.25 million per season.
Whoa.
22 goals and 59 assists for a team-high 81 points last season. And judging by your reaction, that it's a lot of money for Jakub Voracek.
It's a lot of money. It's more the impact that it makes on the marketplace. I'm not in Philadelphia. I don't want to pretend like I know the importance of Jakub Voracek. I know this. He's a much better player than Columbus thought he was going to be. He and Claude Giroux produced on a bad team and produced consistently on a mm-hmm. bad team and mm-hmm. were dangerous on a bad team. What's the term again?
6 years.
Yeesh.
Oh, sorry. Eight years.
So the max. Boy, you know, this has been a summer of restraint. That's not much restraint. But then when has Philadelphia ever shown restraint?
Yeah, this doesn't seem like it's out of the reach.
It just, you know, I have to sit down and educate myself on it. I mean, I know the player, you know, kind of on a surface level, as Pat mutters to himself. Pat's doing the math in his head. He shakes his head. He agrees. Two thumbs up, everybody. It just doesn't pass the smell test, does it?
Well, it's kind of like his very first season of, you know, being an impact player, is it not? I mean, he had 62 points a year ago in 2013-14, then kind of exploded for 19 more points this year to be a point-a-game guy at 81 points in 82 games. So, you know, he's had production before, but not at the rate he's had now. And I just, there's always risk to me, Rob, when you're signing a guy for 8 years.
Well, you know, far be it for us to lecture the Philadelphia Flyers on signing players to long-term deals, right?
Yeah, no doubt about
Mike
it.
Mike Richards?
Not like they're going to listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
Ilya Brizgalov?
That's right.
Anybody?
Anybody?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody?
Week 6 in the CFL season kicks off tonight. And guess what, Rob?
What?
Drew Willey is starting for the Bombers.
Drew Willey! That
he's played 5 games this year.
Been hurt
unable
twice.
Unable to finish 2 games, yeah. 2 of those 5.
Yeah.
But hey, go back out there and get us a win as they are at home to the BC Lions to kick off week 6.
Well, you know, we were critical of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers when they put him back in after, you know, a pretty heavy head hit. Fortunately, this is not a head injury this time. This is a leg injury. Yeah, I mean, he's a tough kid, but so is Buck Pierce, right? The fact that we're talking the way we're talking, we should just stop and appreciate how far we've come in sports, because we're not that far removed from, well, rub a little dirt on it to get it back out there. Oh, he's soft. He won't play. You're questioning his manhood now. That's not how we operate. Everybody begins, you know, kind of starts the conversation from what's best for the player. And yeah, there's a lot of us with our eyes, you know, watching intently on Drew Willey, because, you know, again, there's been some great quarterback stories, and yes, there's some, you know, there may be more depth than I'm giving it credit. The league has more depth than we're giving it credit for, but, you know, look no further than Saskatchewan. Yeah, okay, you can lose one quarterback, but you lose two quarterbacks, and boy, it looks awfully bleak, and when he's their meal ticket. He is their meal ticket.
He certainly is, and, you know, without him, you know, a lot of people don't have a lot of confidence in Brian Brohm, so you know, they're relying on him to carry the load for them this season. Unable to have a full year last year.
Right.
They're certainly hoping that he can stay healthy in 2015. So Drew Willey gets the start. Kickoff goes at about 6:30 in Winnipeg tonight. Week 6 gets underway. Bombers and the Lions from Winnipeg. And the Royals have made it 2-0 over the Blue Jays. That is still in the top of the first inning. So the Jays having some trouble getting out of the first, but that's headlines on a very fast-paced Thursday afternoon.
Very, very busy Thursday afternoon. We'll take a break. Our Stampeder report around the corner, and then hopefully with a little bit of luck, we're going to squeeze in a conversation. And he's very blunt. you've never heard Greg Zahn before.
He doesn't tell the truth. He doesn't.
If you've never heard Greg Zahn, get ready for a little honesty aimed your way. That's all coming up, and then we will take you to Kansas City and Toronto at the top of the hour. We're with the Royals out in front of the Jays 2-0 here in the top of the first. Here on your home of the Toronto Blue Jays, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It's your game. It's our passion. Proud to be home for the National Hockey League in Calgary. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Rob Kerr, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
A little while we hear from Greg Zahn. Take you to the Sky Dome. I guess it's not the Sky Dome anymore. We'll take you to Toronto, home of the Blue Jays. They're trailing Kansas City 2-0, but the Jays now batting in the bottom of the first. And Troy Tulowitzki already on base. Another hit. He's amazing.
They haven't even sniffed it.
Oh, they're going to sniff it, Pat. Oh, they will sniff it. A little hockey news for you. We'll get to our Stampeders report in a second. Reports are out there that the Montreal Canadiens have re-signed Galchenyuk to a 2-year deal worth $2.8 million per year. Not a bad deal. Short-term deal. You don't snicker when you read it as much as the Jacob Voracek. And I might be way off base on Jacob Voracek. Might be old-school thinking. But the full 8 years and an $8 million, north of an $8 million a year AAV seems like an awful lot for a guy who had a really good year this year. We'll see. We'll see. Not my money. Others to spend. Before we get to the Stampeders report, this came down this afternoon, and thanks to our pal Chris Dornan over at the Shaw Charity Classic for giving us the opportunity. They've got a terrific program called Birdies for Kids. It's their charity program, Birdies for Kids. And they wondered if we would like to, on Tuesday now, not today, not tomorrow, we're talking about Tuesday now, auction off a couple of spots in their Wednesday Pro-Am with a Champions Tour player and to play with Chris Russell and Michael Ferland. Michael Ferland, the most popular Flame in the month of April and May this year, and Chris Russell, talked to him today, as a matter of fact. Chris Russell, an amazing, amazing leader, underrated, maybe most underrated defenseman that I've seen in an awful long time. But what a great opportunity. So on Tuesday, starting in the morning with the morning show, which is wildly popular and you should listen all the time. What's it called?
I forget.
Boomer and Red, I think. Or is it Pinder in the Morning? Anyway, they'll start the auction. We'll end it on Tuesday afternoon. But we're going to take the top two bidders. They're going to play the next day in the Pro-Am with a Champions Tour player and Chris Russell and Michael Ferland. Just wanted to give you a little heads up.
Okay? What?
What? You can bid. Not you, Will. You can't bid.
I could, but I couldn't afford it.
You couldn't afford it. But that's coming up on Tuesday. The Calgary Stampeders continue to prepare for the Montreal Alouettes. That comes up 5 o'clock on Saturday. Should be a good game to give us a little understanding of where the Stampeders are in terms of their preparation. We present the Stampeder Report with our good pal, Josh Humphreys.
Final full day of practice for the Stampeders this week as they now set their sights to Saturday night when they host the Montreal Alouettes at McMahon. It's been a busy week at practice as the team prepares to begin life without John Cornish for the next few weeks. Of course, he was injured last Friday in Ottawa, suffering a broken thumb, and is expected to miss around 6 weeks or so. So practice time this week has mostly been spent trying out a few new things at the running back position, which in turn have caused a trickle-down effect to who will return kicks on special teams and even a few ratio concerns. Before we get into what the depth chart may look like Saturday night, one note from practice saw Buddy Jackson sit out and first-year Stamp Joe Burnett take first-team reps on the defense. Head coach and GM John Huffnagel said that Jackson's status for Saturday still undetermined.
His knee's a little tender right now, so... You know, Joe took most of the reps, and find out tomorrow which direction we'll take.
As for the rest of the team heading into the final matchup before the bye week, there will be some different faces in some different spots, and of course, most notably, the running back position, where we could see a few players used as the number one option. Earlier this week, we heard from national running back Matt Walter, whose status helps the team with the ratio and is a big reason why we could see him used as the number one option. One other guy we will definitely see take a few first-team reps will be Tim Brown. Brown was brought into the mix just after the preseason wrapped up after spending the majority of his career with the BC Lions. Brown has been used mostly as the return man for the team this season, but thanks to his experience, he's a valuable asset to have around when injuries strike. I had the chance to catch up with Brown and hear his thoughts on what he can bring to the team.
Heading into this game, obviously a little bit of a different feel for you, potential to get a few more reps out there on the running back position. I guess just your thought process and preparation going into a game like this.
You know what? Blessed, man. You know, thanking Jesus for the moment, man, being able to be with the Stampeders again for another week, you know what I mean? And just want to do my best, man, show my best, you know, glorify the Lord with my talents, man, and really do what I can to help the team win this game.
Seems like you're, you know, when you first got here, the same sort of message. You're just so blessed to be here and happy to be here, and now you're, you know, continue to be here each week. So it seems like you're just making the most of this opportunity to be with this team.
That's it, man. You know, football, it's a tough sport. You know, it drains you mentally. It wears you down physically. But when you have the ability to be able to do this, and it's something that you really like to do and you really enjoy it, and you get paid to do it, it's a blessing, man. You know, I wouldn't want a different job in the world at this moment.
It seems like you're obviously now comfortable with the Stampeders and the playbook and things like that. You've been here for, you know, over a month now and a bit, and so it seems like everything's kind of coming together for you. You're playing all sorts of different things, return game now, maybe running back. Seems like everything's working out.
It is, man. You know, just dealing with the coaches, man, they're doing an amazing job getting me in a rotation. You know, so like I said, I just want to do my best, show the team that, you know, I can still play at this level. I still want to play, and I just want to have fun and win.
Yeah. It seems like in the return game, if we talk about that for a minute, you know, you seem to be getting a lot of good returns, coming close to breaking the big one, eh?
Yeah, you know what, man, I'm just praying each week that, you know, I can get one to the house, man. I told Coach Kilman earlier this week that, Coach, I'm burning to get in that end zone, man, and get us some points on the board in a special teams game. I really think that special teams kick return, punt return, field goal return really helps the team. It gives us field position when we do things right. And so I just want to go out there and make the most of it.
And the running back position, obviously tough to lose John Cornish, you know, leading rusher the last couple of years in the CFL. But do you feel like, you know, you do have the parts to guys to step in there, whether it's yourself or Matt Walter, anybody, you know, can rotate in there to help out?
No, definitely. I mean, we all we're learners, man. We watch Cornish, man, and he's been dominant in this league since he's been here. And so myself, Matt Walter, Torrey, we've just learned from Cornish, man, and getting this opportunity to play, it's like, hey, you know, do what Cornish would do out there, you know what I mean? Yeah. Make big plays.
Yeah. And finally, looking ahead to the Saturday night Montreal in town here, obviously a team that beat you guys earlier in the season. Just kind of game plan going in for them, knowing that you got to be ready to play any team this year.
They got a very good ball club, man. Hats off to those guys. They did a terrific job out there when we played them in Montreal. And, you know, hopefully we can turn the tide, you know, them coming out here on Saturday, man, and let them know that this is our house.
There you go. That is Stampeders running back and return man Tim Brown talking about the upcoming game against the Owls, and also a look at his season so far with the red and white. With Brown taking more reps at the running back spot, the team has used various different bodies as return men in practice this week. We won't know for sure how the whole depth chart looks until Friday at the earliest during a walkthrough. Well, this week has been a bit of a homecoming for Jabari Arthur, who was brought in after being released during training camp. We heard some quotes from him earlier this week, but I did finally have the chance to catch up with him and chat one-on-one.
I want to start by talking about the return, obviously. Here, you've been here in a week now. I just, first of all, get your thoughts on being back with the Stampeders. Obviously a great opportunity.
Yeah, it is a great opportunity. You know what I mean? Being back in the locker room and just hanging out with the fellas, you know, that's the things that you miss the most when you're not playing football. So I'm definitely happy to be back running around and, you know what I mean, trying to chase another Grey Cup.
I guess just thoughts kind of going back to when you were released, obviously a tough time, but how do you kind of stay positive for that, knowing that the opportunity to come back was still there at least?
Well, you know what? I never lost hope. I never lost confidence in myself. I thought that I still have a lot to offer a CFL team and to the league. So with that going, you know, back to the weight room and just training hard and trying to raise my level, so to speak, that's what I was doing when I was released. And like I said, I think I got a lot of football left in me.
And that time off, I mean, did you watch a lot of the Stampeders or try to keep as much? I know it's probably tough to watch your old team like that.
To be honest with you, the first game I was trying to avoid as much as possible because it was going to be a little bit emotional for me. Yeah. But I ended up watching it anyways. And, you know, I mean, like I said, beforehand, this is my family out here, so I was definitely watching every game closely, dissecting it like if I was still playing.
And I guess now that you're back here, I mean, you're familiar with the playbook, so it wasn't like you're going to a brand new team, but I mean, just a few things you got to learn.
I mean, you know, just a few small and details, some nuances that, you know, the coach puts in week to week. Yeah, but for the most part, I'm very familiar with the offense, and that's definitely a plus for me going into this next campaign.
And you kind of talked about the, you know, the brothership you have with all the guys in the dressing room. And these are, you know, your family kind of thing. So it had to be cool to be back there with the familiar teammates as well.
Oh, definitely. Like I said, I've been here 8 years. You know what I mean? And I love everybody in this organization from top to bottom. And just being back out here, the reception was so warm. You know what I mean? It's such a great time to be back in the locker room.
Just quick look ahead to Saturday. Obviously, a familiar friend when Nick Lewis comes back. Yeah, you're obviously familiar with and that sideshow. But talk about the Montreal Alouettes, a team that Stampeders lost earlier this year.
Well, you know what? They're an up-and-coming force to be reckoned with. They got a nice young quarterback. And, I mean, I paid my ode to Nick today when I was running scout team. I wore number 8. So it's going to be good to see him. Unfortunately, I didn't see him last time he was in town. So it's going to be great to see him. And, you know, I mean, last time he played good last time we played him, so it's going to be interesting to see if we could quiet the, I would say, the mouth of the West, but now it's the mouth of the East.
Awesome. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
There you go. That is the newest, but yet one of the most veteran members of the Calgary Stampeders, Jabari Arthur. That will wrap it up for another Stampeders report. Don't forget, Saturday night is legacy night for the team when they host the Montreal Alouettes, as the Stamps will acknowledge 3 men with ties to the franchise who will be officially inducted into the Canadian Football Hall of Fame later this summer. Dave Dickinson, Eddie Davis, and Bob Obilovich, halftime video presentation to honor those 3 men. So be sure to stay in your seats at the break. Also, fans with kids are encouraged to check out the Dodge Fan Zone. That opens 3 hours prior to kickoff at 2 o'clock, located south, of course, of the stadium at the practice field. Free to attend with a game ticket. That includes interactive inflatables, face painting, high-energy entertainment, tons of kid-friendly activities, of course, player autographs, live DJ, games, and giveaways. Of course, you can enter for your chance to win a 2015 Dodge Ram truck as well. Be sure to check that out with the family before kickoff with Stamps and the Alouettes. For another Calgary Stampeders report, I'm Josh Humphreys.
Thanks, Josh. We will have more on the Stamps tomorrow as they have their walkthrough against the Alouettes. We'll take a break when we come back. Greg Zahn from Sportsnet was good enough to join us earlier today. Big day for the Jays as they acquired David Price from the Detroit Tigers. And Zahn has some very, very, very strong opinions on that acquisition. 2-1 Kansas City leading Toronto in the top of the second. We'll come back, hear from Greg Zahn next, then after that, we'll send you to the ballpark for the remainder of that game here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 The Fan is proud to talk Calgary sports all summer long. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Calgary, the boys on the big show are talking sports right now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Busy, busy day around here. You can check out all the conversations online on Audio On Demand at our website. Sports-wise, hard to find a bigger story than the acquisition of David Price by the Toronto Blue Jays. And a guy who knows all about the Jays and seems like he's genuinely all in, just like Alex Anthopoulos, is Greg Zahn from Sportsnet. We had a chance to talk to him earlier today. What does the acquisition of a Price do for that starting group and maybe even the bullpen? How does that trickle throughout the pitching staff?
I think it takes a lot of pressure off of everyone. You know that you're going to get a chance to watch him, compete. He's going to give you innings. He's also going to, take some stress off the bullpen because he goes deep into ball games. And also, you think about it this way. It's 5 times you don't have to face David Price during the season, as long as he's a member of the Blue Jays, because he owns the Jays.
Yeah.
So you take him off the board. That takes him away from, say, one of your competitors like the Yankees, which already, you know, the Jays already have a hard time beating in New York. They got 13 head-to-head games, and now they've got a guy that competes well against the New York Yankees, and he's no longer available to them. So it's kind of a win-win, a double coup for the Jays, in my opinion.
Greg, take us a little bit behind the curtain. As a former catcher, what about making that transition for a guy like Price? My assumption is, as a veteran guy, and the fact that he did this last year, it's probably an easy transition to make, but are there a lot of little details we don't see from the outside to make a guy like Price comfortable and fit in?
I don't think he'll have any problems. Baseball players are amazing at how they welcome guys that can actually play. You know, it doesn't really matter what your personality is. When you go out there and you get it done between the lines, guys will be really accepting of your personality. I know David Price from playing with him. He's a great teammate and a fun guy to be around. I don't think he'll have any problem fitting in this clubhouse. I don't think honestly, I don't think it really matters. At the end of the day, you go out there and you get your job done. You give your team a chance to win. In fact, you know, he does better than give you a chance to win. You almost expect to win every time he goes out there. So, and that's the kind of guy the Jays have been missing. For me, I've been saying they needed a guy to match up against guys like David Price. Well, they went out and got David Price, so even better.
Greg's on from Sportsnet, our guest here on The Big Show. Pat?
Greg, you've caught him before. You've played with him before. Give us a scouting report and tell us about David Price's stuff.
Here it is, hit it. That's what he does. Yeah, he's got a great fastball, mid-90s with the fastball. He's one of those special guys that late in ball games he can ramp it up to the upper 90s if he starts to smell blood. I love it. He's a guy that's just going to pound down and away for the most part with his fastball. No nonsense, no trickery. If my stuff's better than you, I'm going to throw it as many times as I possibly can until you prove that you can hit it.
So was he was the best guy available? Would that be your contention in terms of pitchers?
Yeah, I can't think of anybody else that was available out there that I would rather have, to be honest with you. You know, Hamels was before he went to Texas, I believe, and he would have been out there. But, you know, for me, he doesn't really, you know, light me up the way David Price does. David Price, he can go out there and basically take over a ballgame all by itself. Hamels would, you know, he's going to pitch to contact. David Price could flat out just go out there and just take the bat right out of your hand. So I like that. I like guys with swing and miss stuff. And when you're acquiring a guy at the deadline and you're serious about it, you need swing and miss stuff. And I'm not trying to get, you know, a ground ball specialist. I want somebody that can make the other team miss.
Was listening to you a little earlier, and your point was, okay, the message this sends is it's all about winning, check your ego at the door. So take me back to when you were a player. You see your general manager make two high-impact deals like this in the matter of 4 days. How are you feeling about things? How excited, how energized? Just give me what you think most players are feeling like inside that room.
Well, you know, a lot of people argued last year that some of the players felt abandoned, you know, by the GM, and because they didn't do anything at the deadline. Well, boo-hoo. This year he did. What are you going to say now? you know, honestly, it's on the players and the manager now. Because if they don't get it, if they don't get it done on the field, there's going to be some finger pointing going on at old John Gibbons, and you know how it works. You can't fire all the players. So I mean, here it is. They went out and got everything that they needed. And a lot of people don't think they needed a shortstop. Check the numbers. They needed a shortstop, and they got one. They got the best one in the game, and they got him for 5 years plus a team option. That's pretty darn good. And they just went out and got probably the best guy out there available on the trade market as a starting pitcher. No more excuses. No more of this. It's like I said, it's time to check the ego. Go get it done. And when I say that, it reminds me of our trade deadline. Acquisitions in Florida. You know, we had the third best record in baseball, but we were floundering because we almost had too good a team. There were too many superstars on that club. Everybody was jockeying for position. Who's the favorite player? Who's the darling? Trust me, when we got Darren Dalton and Craig Counsell, those were the difference makers. Now you may not think a name like Craig Counsell is as sexy as David Price, but when you're looking for a guy at second base that can catch the baseball and throw it across the diamond accurately, good. When you get a guy like Darren Dalton to waive his trade deadline or waive his no trade clause and come there interdivisionally, that's pretty huge. And everybody was on board. I remember the first day in Cincinnati, Dalton put us all together at the bottom of the tunnel, chewed us out for not playing with any kind of, you know, cojones or passion. And it was check the ego, boys, and that was it. After that, we were firing on all cylinders, and it was awesome.
Well, and Craig Counsell hit a pretty big single for you guys, too, so I think that probably paid off as well.
He scored the winning run in the World Series.
Exactly.
Pretty good, yeah.
We've been talking about this and kind of having this conversation since the Tulowitzki deal, and you kind of touched on it there, but I wonder if you can go a little bit more in-depth into it. Like, how much for a player does kind of making deals and giving your team a chance and all that type of stuff actually do for you? Like, is it a thing that players are really caught up in, or is it something that, you know, it probably shouldn't be that much of a deal?
Well, here's the thing. It's late in the season. You know, there's some guys that are grinding right now. And part of the reason why they're grinding is because they have to play their absolute best in order to win. And there are several of those guys on the team. I mean, not everybody is a superstar player like Tulowitzki, like Jose Bautista. You don't have a team full of those. If you do, it's a giant payroll and it's a special group. So there's a lot of guys that are just grinding right now, trying to keep their head above water. But when you add a guy like Tulowitzki, when you add a guy like David Price, it gives everybody a collective deep breath and an exhale. Because now you don't feel like you have to go out there and be at your best at all times in order to win. As a group, the more good players you add, the less likely the other team is to beat you. You think back to the years when the Yankees were winning all those World Series with the core four. You look at those lineups. They were scary. There weren't any breaks in the lineups. You just didn't have an exhale place where you could say, okay, I can take this batter off. 1 through 9 could take you out of the yard. They were all dangerous. They were all professional hitters. They grinded out at bats. If they didn't get what they were looking to hit, they took it. It was a war of attrition. You were dead tired when you left New York out of 3-game series. That's what they're putting together here in Toronto. They don't want to come in and face this club, especially offensively. And now you got Mark Burley pitching as well as he is. You added David Price. Ari Dickey's been unbelievable his last 5 starts. If you get anything from Drew Hutchison, if you get anything from the bullpen, Osuna's been great. This is a very, very tough club to beat. And that's what you want. You want it to be as difficult on a team to beat you as possible. And you limit the opportunity to beat yourself when you add players of character and of the talent caliber of Tulowitzki and Price.
Greg Zahn from Sportsnet. Our guest here on the big show is the Toronto Blue Jays pulling off the big deal to acquire David Price today. Just a couple more for me, Greg, and I want to go all the way back to the beginning. You talked about what the Jays have given up to get both Tulowitzki and Price and didn't think it was a lot. Can you just expound upon that? Because that is one of those conversations in baseball. Like, you never want to give up your top prospects. Daniel Norris was one of them, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, but you know what? I'm here to tell you, the first part of it, I'll tell you, the only reason why people are prospects is because somebody in the baseball world has told you that they're a prospect.
Right.
Most of the people that are, you know, banging away on their, you know, Twitter accounts and their Facebook accounts, they're not out there in the minor leagues. They don't go and watch all these games. They believe the hype just like everybody else. If you read Baseball America and all these other propaganda publications, they're trying to sell their commodity on you. They want you to be excited about a guy like Daniel Norris. They want you to be excited about Hoffman
when he
finally makes it to the big leagues. Not only that, but you want the other general managers to think that you have quality products as well. So when it comes time to make these kind of deals, they're interested. To me, prospects are nothing more than just media hype. They haven't been to the big leagues. They haven't done anything of substance for any length of time at the big league level. And I'm here to tell you that most of the people that are dubbed prospects in this game are misses. They flat out fall on their face. So when you get an opportunity to trade names for what really is like a proven commodity, you do it every single time. You can reload every single year in the draft. You could reload as you could trade Troy Tulowitzki next winter for a mittful of prospects to some other organization. Just because he's here doesn't mean he's going to play out his 5 years. There's always a deal around the corner to be made for prospects. The good news is every year there's a new batch of 18 and 21-year-olds out there that can be drafted and signed. You're never going to have a shortage. So, but there is a shortage of guys who are likely going to be in the Hall of Fame if their careers continue the way they are. And we just got two of them in trade. These guys are both likely Hall of Famers. If they continue on the path that they're on right now, they're likely to be Hall of Famers.
Greg, that was an awesome answer, and it's affected how I'm going to ask my final question. So you know what it's like to be a general manager or a guy in charge. Everybody can nitpick and second guess, and everybody's had their opinion about Alex Anthopoulos. So Let me just ask you your thoughts on Alex Anthopoulos, the work that he's done here, and where he is right now in standing with this club or this ownership group.
Well, the second part of your question is unknown to me. All I can tell you is they must respect him a whole lot to go ahead and allow him to do what they just did. I mean, these two guys that are coming in here, they're not making minimum salary. There's a lot of money that's going to be shelled out over the last couple of months. I'm guessing there's probably about 5 to 10 million owed to two players over the next 2 months. So that's a commitment right there. The fact is, you can argue day and night about prospects versus free agents, whatnot. I love the fact that he pushed his chips all in the middle and said, "Here it is. This is what I want to do." He's finally putting a stamp on this team. In my opinion, the deal with Miami that brought Burley and Reyes here was a start. We've all been, fairly surprised and disappointed with what we got from Reyes. But to me, if you're a Toronto Blue Jays player, you got to believe that this guy's serious and it's not just lip service. Because now there have been times when I've had my doubts because, we've got another team here in Toronto that seems to sell out every single game, but they're not putting a quality product out there for the fans to see every night in, night out. And it's been, 30 or 40 years since they won it all. And every year you hear the same thing. We're trying to win, But are you really? There are a number of teams in this game who talk about winning, who put enough of a product on the field day in and day out, year in, year out, in order to keep the fans interested. But at the end of the day, it's all about bottom line. I think this move right here, these two latest moves, pretty much send the signal that it's about winning in Toronto again, and we're not rebuilding. We're not trying to just have a healthy bottom line. We're actually trying to win. And there are a number of GMs out there who are nothing more than business managers. They're all they're doing is worrying about healthy bottom line. I think Alex just proved to everyone that he's worried about winning.
Awesome, Greg. We know you're busy today. Thanks for making us making a little time for us out here.
You got it. My pleasure, guys.
Well, you always know where Greg's on stands. There's no ambiguity. You know when he's in and when he's out, and he certainly endorses this deal. I love what he said about the prospects. Didn't mince words there. Wow, what a show. I want to thank Rob Cookson, our good pal, the former Flame assistant coach and now the assistant coach in Zurich with the Lions in the NLA. As well, Kyle Raymond, NHL referee. How much fun were those two guys? Had them in for full hours. All that audio available on demand on the website. Josh Humphries with his Stampeder report. We just heard from Greg Zahn. We'll take you to that game now. The Jays and the Kansas City Royals. Don't expect to see Price on the mound until probably Sunday. Might even be Monday, so that they can get him in some starts against the Yankees, the way the rotation would work. So look for that. But baseball coming up next. We're back here tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960. Talking sports all the time.